Okay, we this is a breakthrough episode. I think this is, I don't know if it's episode 26, but we have a white boy absolutely goaded with the sauce on today, and that is Donald Lee Augenbaugh Jr. Dude, fire up,
What's up?
fire up, dude. We got dad on the podcast, man. So, I'm super pumped to have you on. I was telling a few of the friends that I was getting you on too, and I think this might be the biggest episode yet. Everyone's pretty excited to hear kind of what you have to say. So,
Really? All three letters?
So I just wanted to you can just start off by just kind of introducing yourself a little bit, and then I don't know, maybe saying a few very nice things about your favorite son if you want to, if that's how you want to do it.
First of all, you're my only son, so that I guess that's in your favor that you're my favorite.
Bingo.
And then I guess my name is Don. I'm Drake's dad. I work for a mechanical contracting company in Rockford, Illinois.
Hell
I
yeah.
run their
Blue
shop for them.
collar, let me hear you.
Yep. Blue collar wearing orange today, but.
Yeah, that's okay. At least you're not doing blue collar stolen valor right now, so
Got
I don't know if you,
them.
I am though. So I don't start work until Monday night. So tomorrow night I finally go back to work. But do you have any idea what blue collar stolen valor is by chance?
No.
Okay, so it's this big thing that's kind of going around on social media, and it's like, you know how like Carhartt is like meant for like, you know, Tom Hamlin type of guys, like Mike Carlson type of guys who get out there and get after it and like it stuff like it's work wear, you know what I mean?
Okay, hey, thanks for including me in that too.
Yeah, I mean you can throw it on you too if you want or whatever. So it's like you guys that actually like, you know, you like where your job is like wear and tear, like you get like you're actually like doing physical stuff. Well, a big thing that's going around on social media now is like how Carhartt has became like a or has become like a just like a brand that you wear just casually, you know what I mean? Like, and so one of the funny things is people talking about blue collar stolen valor. So people that don't work a blue collar job but wear Carhartt. And so I just thought that was pretty funny. So I didn't know if you had heard anything about that, but that's me kind of right now. I'm kind of doing blue collar stolen valor. So
No, I don't do any social media, unfortunately, so this is
yeah, you're kind of off the grid 24/7 a little bit.
well, for that, but work I'm not, but
No, yeah, I mean, I don't blame you though, too. It's like I've taken a huge break from it too, and
mean
it's still weird not being on it, especially like at my age, just because it was so fun to do, but it's tough.
Seems like too much to do when you're not supposed to be doing stuff. And I don't know. That's all I need is something else to try to keep up with.
Yeah, no, it's just a part of the culture now though, you know what I mean? It's just like and they're getting younger and younger, like with people that are getting on it. And the long like we were I like our age group was lucky enough to kind of like get away with it a little bit. Like we were kind of like on that cusp of we had a childhood first without it. And so it was like we had MySpace when I was in middle school. But I mean, like you had to get to a computer because there weren't smartphones. Like you had to be at a computer somewhere to like set things up and to get on it versus then like when we got like late middle school into high school when we all had Facebook, but it was kind of still the same thing. Like no one really had like iPhones where you could pull it up at any place you were. So you still had to be at a computer. So and then now it's just like now you got kids having Instagrams that, you know, when they're in elementary school and trying to be cool and trying to impress everybody. So it's just like,
Too much.
yeah, it's just, I feel like it's just overstimulation on like every level for like people just are seeing too much shit for too long, like way too early. Like people are just becoming like desensitized to everything now just because, you know, it's wild. I think it's only going to get worse.
I pretty much went through grade school, middle school, and even high school without even cell phones. I mean, it's
Yeah.
you know, you had your landline in your house. That was it.
With the really long cord that mom would be dragging around the house.
Unless you were a gazillionaire, then you had a cell phone, but it looked like your grandfather's lunchbox.
What about a bag phone?
Well, those were around in the 90s or late 80s too.
Those were atrocious. I always die laughing talking about a bag phone. Anyone who has like a Samsung phone that'll text me with like green text, I always make fun of them and tell them to get rid of their bag phone. They usually don't take that joke very well, but I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah, the best bag phones say Samsonite or something like that on them. Got casters, you know, you got to pull it behind you.
That is so wild, dude. Pretty funny. But yeah, kind of. I'm trying to think. How was it? Like, what was like a go-to like weekend when you were in high school? Like, what year was that? What year did you graduate? 80 something?
81.
81's when you graduated? Jesus Christ. 81, you graduated. So just take me through like a weekend, like with you and your buddies. Like you probably had to work on weekends, but like when you were off of work, what was like the go-to thing to go do? Like when you wild psychos were running around, who was even your crew back then?
Doug Glendening, Todd Glendening, Brett Glendening, Mark Rippentrop, Jeff Cox, but those guys all, if they had girlfriends, that always seemed to kind of come first. So it was probably just the same as you.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you've had friends through high school where, you know, you almost forgot who they were. And then when them and their girlfriend broke up, then they were like right back in the group again.
Oh yeah, just because, you know,
that hasn't changed with age, I don't think.
But, no, I don't think so either.
But you know, where I worked at a gas station, so there was always a landline phone there, so yeah, anybody could get a hold of me. So usually, when I got off of work, we kind of had a plan, and then it was just a matter of calling somebody, like when I got home or before I left work or whatever. And then when you can drive, I don't know, we all kind of have the same interests, you know, have a few beers and do some running around. And that was probably the beginning of the video game age, but we all had to go to a place to play them. You know, you just couldn't crank it up on a phone or a computer because back that day, nobody had computers either.
Yeah, shit. So wild thinking about that.
Otherwise, the ones that did, I mean, the phones were, or the computers were, same deal. They were as big as a filing cabinet back then.
Yeah, you think about it. When we had our first one at the house, it's a huge, like, big white Windows one.
Yep.
And then you do the, mom would be like, anytime she'd like have to have like an important phone call for something that day, like I couldn't get out. You can't get on the internet because the dial up or whatever. Like
we had dial up.
Literally AOL dial up with the startup with the and then the whatever the other noises that it makes. And then mom would tell me to get off the computer. If she was like waiting on like an important phone call. It's so wild that like we were on the back end of that era. Yeah. Versus now, I mean, things are about to take such a weird turn with the metaverse now. I think it's just going crazy. Like we're going to be at a point, I think, where no one has, you don't have to leave for your house for anything, like literally anything. And I'm pretty much at that point right now anyway. So,
well, I mean, I think with what I do, I still got to be there. It's physical hands-on. You know, I guess I don't deserve to wear Carhartts, but I got to go do.
So someone's got to be in there.
And, you know, that the same thing kind of happened with Harley-Davidson motorcycles with that too, Drake. You know, that back in the day, it was all really just bikers and badasses, and that's all who had Harleys.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, like back in the late 80s, early 90s, all the yuppies, that's when they all started buying Harley Davidson. So then it became like a cross motorcycle. And then now it's still the same way. You got people that that's all they'll ride and they look like they're homeless. And then you have people that have, you know, million-dollar homes that ride Harley Davidsons.
So was that like a big deal when you were younger? Like that kind of feud where like you'd see these fake phonies getting Harleys? Cause what was,
When I was growing up in the '60s and seventies, if you saw somebody on a Harley, you went to your house.
For real?
Well, you didn't know.
Because you just didn't know because they were a loose cannon because they were wearing, because they were riding a Harley.
You know, anybody can read history, but that was kind of like you saw somebody on a Harley Davidson, you just assume they were hard ass or.
That is wild.
Hell's Angel.
Every time I hear Harley Davidson, I just think of Craig Coltrane every single time. And I don't even think he even ride a Harley.
Yeah, he did.
He looks like a badass. I would definitely be scared if I didn't know him and saw him coming down the road on a bike.
Yeah, if he gets the fist out, I hope I'm behind him.
Yeah, for real. I don't want him on the opposite team. That's for sure.
Not that I'm that pretty, but I need all the help I can get.
Oh, you and me both, dude. I mean, come on. If I get my face sunken in on either side, I'm doomed. Have you ever been in a fight before? Let's go into that. Do you ever scrap it up with somebody when you were younger?
Well, really only one time that I really got into a fight.
Oh, my God. Please tell me. I don't even know if I've heard this story.
Well, Doug Glendenning and I were up here in Rockford. And we were, this is back in the day when the drive-ins were still open.
Uh-huh.
But we went to a drive-in movie, and it was out here on State Street somewhere. Well, Doug always was kind of a hothead.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you waved to him wrong, he wanted you to pull over so he could kick your ass.
You were small in high school, right? You and I, like, because I got that from you. Were you like undersized in high school? Like, really, like,
oh, yeah,
thin,
and
like,
I weighed 5.5 foot tall, and I maybe weighed 100 pounds, maybe.
But you had spunk though, huh? You definitely had, you know what I mean?
Well, spunk or no brains, however you want to look at it.
There we go. That's same with me, I think. Then
we were hauling, you know, we were going up East State, and these guys pulled up next to us, and Doug got all pissed off, so we pulled off on the shoulder. These guys pulled up behind us, and at first I wasn't even going to get out of the car because, I mean, I looked like a child sitting in the car. You know, I probably was sitting on a phone box just so I could. Or a phone book.
So you could be up above. So you could be up above the window.
But after he was out there messing it up for a few minutes, I thought, well, here goes nothing. So I got out and I walked around the car and I said something like, you know, hey, why don't you guys fight fair or something? The guy just fucking decked me.
No way. He just got one shot clocked.
Yeah. Just
did you start swinging at all?
I didn't even have a chance to get my hands up in the air. I mean, what I should have did is just ran right past the two cars and headed down the street.
You should have just moved over to the driver's seat and told Glendenning to meet you at the drive-in.
Yeah, I should have said, grab the tailpipe. We're heading out.
Yeah, dude.
Smoked them and drug them down the road.
So did you guys both? So what happened after you guys got your shit kicked in? Did you guys just get back in the car and go see a movie?
I don't know if it was before, during, or after. That was just kind of
the setup.
Yeah, that was kind of what we did. We ran around and drank some beers, and then if somebody crossed our path that we didn't like, we kind of mixed it up.
Did you know them at all? Did you guys know them?
No,
just random people pulling up at a stoplight in Rockford.
But you know, thank God when the guy hit me, I just went right down, and then shit, he helped me up, and oh man, I'm sorry, you know, because
wait, what?
Well, obviously, by looking at me, he probably thought, oh my God, I just hit a kid.
Huh? I just hit a kid.
Well, probably. But you know, he helped me up, and then we kind of broke Doug and this other guy rolling around on the ground up, and then really we ended up standing there talking to him, and then people, you know, would come up beside us and say, yeah, you guys better get going or we're gonna call the cops, you know. And we were like, get the fuck out of here, and yelling and screaming at them. The cops never did come, but I mean, we kind of made up for you know, they ended up being pretty much the same people we were, just out kind of.
That is hilarious. That's so funny that you guys were actually able to, like, that. I can't believe that guy helped you up after he clocked you. That's so wild.
When you knock out a 50-pound guy, I mean, what do you think?
Well, I just thought, like, especially back then, like, back then it's so much more of, like, a bully era to where, like, I'm surprised that guy didn't try to, like, damn near end your life.
Well, that's what I mean. He could have hit me and then just kicked and the shit.
Yeah. So I'm surprised, like, after he caught you with him, was it a right hook? He catch you with a right hook?
I just think it was straight on, bam, right in the face.
Just right to the beak?
Yeah, he didn't even. Like I say, my hands were probably, like, down around my waist.
Oh, yeah, you're probably walking doing something like this. Like, hey, what the hell's going on?
It was like I walked out there like this. Because then he punched my fist right into my
right into your face. Yeah, see,
that's about the end of my fighting days.
And it's funny that you say that you've only, like, really been in one. I've never been in, like, a real fight before ever. Like, I just. Well,
I wasn't in that one either for very long.
Well, that's still in there, though. I haven't even been. I haven't even had. I'm trying to think of, like, the closest time that I've ever been into. I can't even think. I mean, like, there have been, like, a couple close calls, but either, like, the people around me or, like, me being like, you know what, maybe this isn't a good idea. So I'm just, because, like, I've had a few times, like, at the bars in Byron where, like, someone will say some fucking dumb shit to me. And I'm like, now that, like, I'm a bigger guy, like it's kind of like a weird fight with my ego now, because, like, I wouldn't have fought before. So it's like, why would I fight now? Kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, I came from, you know, being, like, criminally undersized like you were back in the day. You know, we both knew, like, how small we were. But, like, now that, like, I've grown up and, like, I'm, you know, filled out a bunch, it's like, it's at the point now where, like, when I get in those, like, when I was, like, in high school, I just wasn't, I mean, you knew me, dude. I was not a fighter at all. Like, being like a scrappy kid on the football field is different than being a fighter. Like, it's not the same thing. Like, I had the spunk for sure, but I just, you know, hitting with fists was not in my vocab at all. So I would always, if it ever got to that point, I would just always, like, talk my way out of it, or, like, make something, like, lighthearted to make the person that was pissed at me, like, laugh or something. But yeah, there was one time that I remember in the cave where, and this was, like, I think this was right before I left for Wyoming. So I still, like, wasn't, like, big at all, but definitely had grown up a little bit. And then this lady was standing, I don't know how the last time you've been in the cave, but you know how it's set up, where there was this lady sitting in that hallway of the bathrooms. And you know how it's only like two people wide there to go back. She's standing right in the middle of it. And I walk by, and I mean, I had obviously had a couple wobbly pops, so I was feeling it. And so I walk by her, and I turn, and she's standing in the middle of the hallway like a mouth breather. So I just turned and I did this and went around her and just, like, kind of slithered past her a little bit. And I didn't say excuse me, which was my bad, but also, hey, don't stand in the middle of a fucking hallway that's two people wide. So,
unless you're in a bar,
you don't stand in the middle of a hallway that's two people wide waiting for the bathroom. Like, either wait next to the door or up against the wall on the other side. So, like, I tried to be, like, polite about it. I, like, slipped, but I think she was kind of drunk. And so she, like, wasn't exactly standing still. You know what I mean? Like, she wouldn't have passed, like, a sobriety test in the field, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so I walk past her, and I slither past her. I go to the bathroom, and, I hear her outside the door going, like, that motherfucker just shoved me and didn't even say sorry. He just walked up to me and shoved me and didn't even say he was sorry. And I'm in the bathroom, and I could hear it clear as day. And then I hear a guy outside the bathroom going, this guy shoved you? Like, someone needs to beat this motherfucker's ass. And then I open the door, and it's a, like, 5'5" grown man. He's literally like 5'5", like, it's that tall. Like, and so I'm thinking it's, like, you know, someone someone like Lau's size, like some grown dude, is going to be like, oh, okay. So I was like, I'm probably going to get my shit kicked in when I walk out of this bathroom. And I legit, when I opened the door and did this to the grown man that was talking, basically talking shit about me, because he knew I was in the bathroom. Him and I, like, I opened the door and I had like this kind of look on my face. And I don't think I was rocking the mustache back then, so I didn't feel as cool. But I opened the door and him and I like make eye contact, and I kind of like look at him like this. And because like we know he knew that I was in here, the guy that shoved the girl, which I didn't. And so I just kind of like walk by him, and he like looks at me. We like look at each other for like a couple seconds, and like I just keep looking at him as he's walking to the bathroom. We're walking past each other, and he eventually like breaks eye contact and goes to the bathroom. And I was just like, that's not at all what I was expecting. Was there to be a 5-foot man that was talking about beating me up? So I go back out, and my favorite spot before I had moved away to sit around was like where the bar does that L by the coolers. Yeah. And so I would hang out there. Me and Chris Logston would hang out there right on that corner. And I think I was with him, and I was telling him, I was like, yo, I was like, this guy, this like 5-foot man wants to kick my ass. And then him and I just started dying laughing. And then that same girl walks back by me, and she's hammered. She walks back by me and like points at me and goes, like, this is the motherfucker that shoved me. Like, didn't even say excuse me. Like, this is the motherfucker that shoved me. And I literally was like, shut the fuck up. I literally was like, shut the fuck up. I was like, check the tapes. I was like, I never shoved you. I was like, you're fucking hammered. I was like, get the fuck away from me. And she just kept pointing right at me in my face, going, this is the guy that shoved me. This is the guy that shoved me. I literally was like, someone get this girl the fuck away from me. I was like, I can't do this. I was like, and I literally told, I had to talk to Matt, because Pendergrass, because that night he was like, hey, he was like, what happened? I was like, dude, I was like, check the tapes. I was like, go back and look at your cameras, man. I was like, I tried walking around this girl. She was hammered in the middle of that hallway to the bathroom. I was like, I never shoved her. I may have accidentally bumped her when I walked by her, and I'm hammered too. So I didn't say sorry or excuse me, but I definitely never shoved her. And hardly bumped into her. She's just hammered. But there might have been like a tiny bit of contact, but it's not like I was, you know, going through the gauntlet to put my shoulder down, because that would have been the end of her if that would have been the case. Because,
well, if she was wobbling like a hit bowling pin, I mean, what the hell are you supposed to do?
And so I tried to get past her. And yeah, that was definitely my fault for not saying excuse me or saying sorry. But I literally don't even know who it was. But yeah, she came out, and then that same guy came out of the bathroom. And I'm standing right next to him at that corner. And I think he was talking like I wasn't able to hear him. And he was like, yeah, this kid's an idiot. Like, this kid shoving women in here. This kid should get his shit kicked in or some shit like that. And I just remember like turning around, like him, like he's right over my shoulder, sitting down on the chair. And I remember walking, I turned around. I didn't even have to walk. I just turned around to him, and I was like, I can hear you. You know that, right? Like, I'm right here. And he's like, yeah. He's like, you're the motherfucker that shoved that girl. And I was just like, same thing with him. I was just like, dude, shut the hell up. I was like, just trying to be a hero. I was like, you can check the damn tapes too, man. I was like, this woman doesn't like you. I don't know who you're trying to save, but I was just like, give it up, man. I was like, you can release the tapes everywhere. I don't care. Like, it's like, I had to play lawyer I'd represent myself for a little bit in there. And that was a close call that I would like, cause like, you can tell like in a verbal disagreement, like when things are starting to get heated, you know what I mean? Like, that guy was definitely feeling real confident that night. And I was just like, I'm not going
to drunk too.
And that's, 100%. And
I think the legal ramifications is what's always stopped me from fighting. Cause it's like, you know, it ain't worth going to, even if you kick somebody's ass, it ain't worth jail for.
It's never like the movies where, you know, you kick their shit in and then you wipe the little bit of blood off your lip and then you go continue on your life. It's just like, well,
yeah, and then burn the place down.
Yeah. And then you just never hear, you never get contacted by the authorities or anything. Yeah. It's just like,
that'll teach you, son of a bitch.
And that was that that was never really a fear for me because I knew like, especially when I was younger, like I just knew I wasn't strong enough to, or especially like I never knew how to fight. So like I wasn't going to catch somebody, you know, with a super crazy good punch and then end up killing them. Cause like that shit happens. Like, I don't know what I would do if I, you know, got into a bar fight and ended up like murking somebody, but just all the stories I hear of people that have gotten into bar fights, none of them are ever good. And so I'm just like, yeah. I'm good on. And so, like I said, I've always been able to stay away from fighting, you know, if tensions have ever, that wasn't the only time where I've almost gotten into a fight in the cave. There's been a plenty more times, like some like people my age where, you know, you come back or you haven't seen somebody in a while. And then like, they give you like this real shitty, like side comment that you clearly notice. And they're just like, what was that? And then like tensions rise because everyone's off the wobbly pops in there. And then you think you're real dope because everyone's around and want to be a tough guy. And so it's just like, it's not worth it. I don't care. Like,
I was lucky enough to hang out with, you know, Jimmy and Tommy and all them guys we got to go to the drink. I mean, who wants to fight?
I don't know. It's just some people's like MO, like they, like when they start drinking, like their thing is to go like look for fights. I'm just like, it's a really funny thing. It's a funny thing to like tell stories about, like when you know, are older and grown, but man, you get caught with the right punch. I mean, it's just brain damage, man. Like I need all the help I can get anyway. So it's like, why would I? I've already gotten my shit scrambled in football too many times, and from snowboarding too. Like, thank God I wear a helmet for that, because I mean, it is just it's damn near just soup up in here at this point.
Well, I mean, we didn't have braces put on you so you could bar fight in your 20s.
That's true. That is true. It's a good point.
I think a lot of it's an age thing. I just think a lot of, you know, people go through their teen years and then as soon as they turn 21, they have a couple beers and they're, you know,
Clint Eastwood,
TKO artists. They think they're just going to go have a couple beers and kick somebody's ass.
Usually they get their shit kicked in when that happens.
Well, but what's the use? I mean, even if you can kick somebody's ass, you know, you kill them and then you're going to jail. So how much fun was that?
For real, though.
Not to mention somebody that was, you know, legitimately just out having a couple beers. And I don't care. Everybody that drinks gets drunk.
Yeah.
You know, you say hi wrong or you didn't quite do your whatever somebody thought you should have did for them or to them or whatever. And then all of a sudden you got a pissing match and a fight. It's just stupid to me.
Have you ever seen anything crazy like in the Byron bars when you've been out with some of the guys, like anything like go down in Spanky's when you and the guys were in there ever?
No.
What about like any of the other bars there?
No, I mean, that's really the only place I hung out. And I was always home before, you know, usually shit don't start till after, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock. That's when all the idiots.
Yeah.
Are.
Yeah,
you know, when you hang out with working people, y'all got to get up and go to work in the morning. So it's
what's the point?
You got that 2 or 3 hour window where, you know, you pound them for a while and then you lie to your wife and order fish. And then you tell them that the cook,
classic,
you know, tell the cook to wait an hour before they cook it.
Classic, classic.
Then you go, you know, gee, honey, I'm sorry, but the fish fry was really busy.
Yeah, it took forever in there.
And Jimmy Reverts would not quit talking to me.
I can't wait for Brendan to watch this episode. That's going to be hilarious. But yeah, I've seen people like, I've seen a couple fights like start in the cave and then they get kicked out pretty quick. There's too many people around. Like they don't, like, usually you can't get it like that many haymakers in before it gets broken up. And then I've seen a couple get like some that start in Wheezy's and take it outside. I saw someone who's a fan favorite in Byron get put on like the hood of an SUV right outside of Wheezy's, and so I was sitting inside laughing pretty hard at that. So that was amazing. And I think someone broke a window at Wheezy's one time, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if that's a – I don't think I was there for that, but I think that was a thing. I'm going to have someone confirm that for sure, but
– I'm sure I was already in my pajamas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you had the Dale Jr. PJ pants on already for sure.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Already looking for the next day, probably.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And so I'm just glad, like, looking back on it now to where, like, I don't. Because, you know, you always thought it was cool, like, some of the guys, like when I was in high school, like, I always thought it was cool, some of the guys who have been in fights. I was just like, man, like, I wonder when it's my turn. And
hopefully never.
Thank God it was never my turn. At least, for now, I know at some point, probably, like, I'm going to have to. I hope I don't have to at some point, like, as a grown.
One thing, if you absolutely have to. I mean, I'm not opposed. I'm not going to say I wouldn't if I didn't have to.
Oh, yeah. Like, if I'm provoked, like, in the right way, like, I think I kind of got to do something.
To just fight. I mean, hell, I'll leave a bar before I get in a fight because
somebody's
ain't even worth it. It's just to me, it ain't worth
it. I guess one thing would be like, you can say like whatever you want, like about me, like in a bar, like, okay, like I can take that. That's fine. I think if you go and like take a shot at like somebody's family and like shit like that, like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's like a reason to be like, okay, like I'm going to give you an opportunity to like apologize or your friends are going to have to carry you out of here.
Well, in some cases they're right, so you say, yeah, you're right.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a good point, because if they're not wrong, then it's like, well, I'm not gonna get into a fight with you over something that you're wrong about, so that's tough.
Half the time, if they're trying to give you static and you agree with them, it kind of blows it kind of
eases the tension.
Yeah, it's like, okay, this guy's obviously not gonna get rattled, so I'm kind of
shit out of luck here. Let me go try to start a fight with somebody else.
I'm kind of pissing on the wrong tree here.
What makes me laugh so hard about Byron is, like, obviously, you know me, like, I had to get out of there. And, like, obviously, you and Mom, like, moving to Rockford and kind of, like, not to, like, get away from it, because, like, you guys were pretty chill anyway. You guys really didn't go do a whole lot. Like, you had your buddies or whatever. She just kind of does her own thing now. But one of the things that I thought was the craziest part about that place was how often, like, people that we know, like, how often, like, these dads in this small town are getting in fights with, like, kids, like 21, 22, 23-year-olds, like, at these Byron bars. I've always thought that was the craziest, like, the funniest thing to me is, like you are, like – people just, do they not realize, do they not get it, like, how fast, like, world, like, travels in that town? Like, do they just not care? Like, it's always just been such a funny thing to me. We'd be out, like, me and the guys would be out. And, you know us, like, we're a pretty annoying group of individuals. But, like, we like to have a good time. And sometimes, like, some of these, like, random dads are, like, sometimes, like, just grown adults, like, your age that we don't know at the Cave, like, just either cop an attitude. I can't clear my damn throat. Can't. They like cop an attitude or just us, like, being funny and being annoying and being dumb will, like, piss them off, and they're not even, like, in our group. And it's just like, oh my Lord. Like, just how can you, like, you got a kid that's, like, in the school system and then you're getting drunk and getting in fights at the bars in your hometown. I'm just like,
well, they ought to be able to put up with it, you know.
100%. It just never made sense to me.
If you don't like the atmosphere of the Cave at, you know, 9 o'clock, it's obviously all young people. Then
yeah,
go to another one. Go to Uptown or Spanky's or see what's going on at Wheezy's. It ain't like you got to sit in there and listen to the.
And I feel like that's how it normally goes. And, like, most of them are, like, smart enough to be like, okay, like, the Cave is not where I need to be at, you know, at the later part of the night when the younger crowd makes their way in there. But,
well, no, I mean, that's, I always kind of held it to afternoons, or, you know, I didn't mind going in there at 5 o'clock, but usually by 6, 6:30, I mean, I'd gone.
because like, no, like, and I'm not saying like, yeah, like your parents, like no one's parents can go in there like after like a certain time. It's just like, you're right though. It, like everyone knows like how the crowd is there. And if you can't handle that, like, it's just like, well, that's all that's going to be in there is the younger crowd. And then a few like older people that are regulars scattered in there. So I don't know what like people are expecting, but us young people are dumb and annoying. Well, but they're
the surrounding towns that when they come into town, yeah, they're coming down to go to the cave. And you know, it's 10 o'clock at night. It's, they're not in there at 5 o'clock PM. They're in there PM because they've already went somewhere else and got stupid. And then they,
I always thought it was funny because we obviously you went to Davis Junction and then that shut down, right? So you ended up having to go to Stillman because of that.
Yeah, I went kindergarten and first grade in the Davis Junction school. And then I had to go to second grade in Stillman.
So, yeah. So you graduated 81. Mom graduated 83.
Yeah.
And so did you even know Mom in high school?
I'm sure I probably might have been somewhere where she was at a time or two, but
you just, it's just like so vague. Like you guys never even had a conversation or whatever.
Well, if I didn't have a chair or a stool to stand on, she would have never saw me.
Well, dude, when you think about it with me, it's just like, I don't know how I was able to do what I just, cause we, you had to have been funny in high school, right? Cause that was the only reason I was able to get anybody's attention. Cause I was not I was not something good to look at back then. That's for sure.
I mean, a lot of people probably don't think I'm funny, but I think okay. I don't know if I could make any money at it, but I think I do all right. And I'd rather have a good time than hang around with a bunch of, you know, pissy faced, you know, suicidal. How bad can life get? It's should be that.
Yeah, you're more interested in hanging around the fun guys, huh?
Well, I mean, I just was lucky. It's, you know, we all worked and the time at the bar was 2 hours of just
I'm just letting loose.
Hardcore blowing off steam and drinking the beverage of your choice to so when the sun rose the next day, your head hurt.
So that's kind of the, seems like it was kind of the routine. Cause it's wild that's what you were able to do. Cause like, I definitely like, and obviously times are so much more different, like from, like when you were in your mid 20s to now me going through my mid 20s, like just like how crazy different the times are now. But I've just never been like, I've never been like the, I, cause like I'll still admit it to anybody. Like I've definitely dialed back like on drinking, but I still love to go out and booze. So like I hate how I feel, but I love going out and going and being social and talking to people over a couple of drinks. And
that's how I am. And social drinker.
And those couple drinks always turn into way more than a couple drinks, which is totally fine. I always have a good time, but I've never seen myself as one of like the, like get off of work every day, go to the bar for, go to the same bar, sit in the same seat for, and maybe that'll be me like when I retire, maybe that will be a thing. But I also hope that I can keep doing shit like this to where like, I love what I do. So I don't ever have to retire. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's the eventual plan. But, I just like, especially with like fitness and stuff and working out, just like constantly like boozing, just like obviously doesn't aid with that at all. So it's like, I'd rather go to the gym, not talk to anybody and, you know, listen to my music for 2 hours than go sit with my friends in a bar for 2 hours. Like that's just like how things have like kind of evolved. I know people like went to the gym back then, but you know, it's different now. You know what I mean? Cause like I walk around with, you know, all the music that you can listen to on this thing right here versus, you know, where you, when you guys were back in the day, you had like the 8-track cassette tapes.
Yeah. Cassette was out, but though they were fairly new. 8-tracks were common. And even FM radio back then was not huge. I mean,
what were the stations like?
WFS out of Chicago.
Could you imagine being a radio host back then? That had to have been the funnest gig ever.
Yeah, it was.
Well, actually, let's.
WMAQ was country. That's, I think the numbers are still another station now. But I mean, the problem with living in Davis Junction is you almost had to do AM to hear it because.
Was it shitty?
An antenna, so to speak.
Yeah, was it like shitty connection?
Well, I mean, AM, you could go, you know, that went for miles and miles and miles. That's why that's what we listened to.
Well, and then when did, what about TV? When did you guys get TV in the house?
We always had TV, but when I.
Was it color? When did color TV become a thing? No, it wasn't.
Ours were black and white.
That's so wild.
I was probably making around.
Black and white TV. Oh my God.
I bet I was 6 or 7 years old before mom and dad really got their first color TV, would be my guess. So, and, you know, my dad, if you jumped, he'd yell at you because, you know, you're going to wreck the TV.
Oh, if you jumped like near the TV?
Yeah, like if you jumped in the living room, he'd be like, knock it off. You're going to wreck the TV. It's like, really?
Holy shit. I mean, I get it though, because it's such a big deal, dude. Color TV was like the second coming of Christ back in the day, dude. Like that was such a big deal in history though. Like I'm sure that it was probably like an exaggerated Christmas morning when you were 6 or 7 and they dad brought home the new color TV. Like, so did you guys you and all the aunts, did you all do you guys have a certain show you guys would always be there for that specific night to watch together? Did you ever do that shit?
When I was going through high school, the Three Stooges were generations before, but that got popular when I was in high school. And a lot of the older, you know, Leave It to Beaver and all that kind
of. Leave It to Beaver.
Andy Griffith, that's a classic. But I don't know, when I was going through school, I worked at, you know, the gas station. So TV at night was, I just didn't watch it.
Was there a TV in the gas station?
Yeah, we had a little one up on the counter, but.
So what was what was the, how old were you when you were working that gas station job? 16?
15 when I started back 15. In my.
And it was what gas station? Do you remember where it was at?
Yeah, Route 72 and 251. It was Brace's Sunoco for a while, and then John Blake bought it. So then it was Blake Oil Company.
So and then for a while, my mom 70, and dad, 72 and 251.
Yeah, there's a BP or something there now. You know where the burger joint is? JC's?
J's? No. I'm thinking of something else. So
JC's, the burger and beer joint that's out there at 251-72.
Why can I not think of where that is?
But the gas station's straight across on the opposite corner.
You'll have to send me something so I can look at it, but.
If you go through Davis Junction and you're coming up to 251,
yeah,
Jason is right on your right. And then when you cross 251, you're going to go to Monroe Center, the gas station would be across 251 on
and
your
that's,
left.
And that's just, and that all that's just past Stillman, right? Like in relation to from Byron taking 72 through Stillman, right? That's how you get there.
Yeah. Then you go through Davis Junction and then.
Cause I'm trying to think. My biggest joke with everybody is always if I always say oh yeah, I'm moving, or whatever, or oh yeah, I just bought a house in Davis Junction. That's always the go-to joke. Cause no one expects you to say oh yeah, I'm headed to Davis Junction. So that's always the big joke that I'll crack with some of my buddies and some people. But, one thing what all was the shit that you had to do? Because were you a gas station attendant? Is that what it was?
Yeah, we pump the gas.
You pump the gas and you wipe you off to like wipe the windshield and shit like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we didn't have to do it if the
person didn't want to.
$2 or $3 worth, but on all fill ups we wash the windows every time, and then they wanted the oil check, you did that, and then we did oil changes and tires and stuff in the station. It was full service.
How many bays? Like two?
Just one. So
just the one bay. And then then you ended up going what was the first permanent gig that you had, like right outside of high school? Because obviously you didn't go to college, you just went right into the workforce.
Dixon Tire Center.
Oh, so that was like the first like big gig?
Yeah, because I quit the gas station to go work at the Goodyear in Rockford.
And that's what it was.
I was there like exactly a month, and then they laid me off because they hired a bunch of people at the same time, and I got the low guy on the totem pole speech, and that's how I ended up. Because I went to Peters GMC in Rochelle looking for a job, and they owned Dixon Tire Center. So that's how I ended up down in Dixon. But, you know, my mom was from Amboy, Dixon, and my dad was from Mendota. So it wasn't like.
God, I didn't even know that. Your dad's from Mendota? Jesus.
Yeah, Compton, Mendota area.
Wild. I didn't even know that.
So going back to Dixon was kind of, you know, my mom's mom, my grandma lived in Dixon, and she had a couple sisters that lived down there. So for me, it wasn't like no man's land, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. So you knew people. And what was your mom's maiden last name?
Eller. E-L-L-E-R.
Eller. Marianne Eller.
Yeah. Marion.
Marion. That's what it is. Sorry. Not Mary Ann. So Eller. God, I didn't know that either. Jesus. Mendota. Dad's from Mendota. Maiden name Eller. That's wild. And so then you were at Dixon Tire for
13 plus years.
That's wild that you were there for that long. And you liked it there, didn't you? You had a pretty good like crew of people there and shit.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie, Roger, me, and Peter still owned it when I left, but yeah, that's when I left when you were born.
Yeah, that's right. That's when you took the Nelson Carlson gig.
Yeah.
So what was like the day to day at Dixon Tire for you then?
Well, I always went in, made coffee, and got things opened up and rolling. And you know, Roger was the manager. So if you've ever been an assistant manager, you know the assistant manager really does all the work.
Yeah.
But I was hoping for maybe a break at some point. But he was only a few years older than me, so I knew that was kind of going to be a dead-end street. But a lot of it was just learning, too.
So were you ever, like, the assistant manager or anything there while you were there?
That's what I was. And then
That's what you were? Okay.
I did outside sales, too, so I went on a tire route a few days a week.
Oh, shit. Really?
Here comes your mother now. But if you know, I'd go in there in the morning and hell, I'd help bust the tires, and then I'd go up and do the paperwork too.
Shit. So you're just like a facilitator in there.
And now, on Saturday, that's hell. We all just look like a bunch of gophers back there. Cause we really only had one lift and shit. We'd be rolling cars in and rolling cars out.
And you did like it there though, right? Because you stayed like busy throughout the entire day usually, yeah.
I mean, it was usually busy. I mean, it was hard work.
Because like, I was going to say, it was real rough on your body, right? Like your knees constantly like getting down. And because you would always rotate like our tires for us in the garage.
I got two floor jacks here, and I got an impact wrench, you know. I just kind of enjoy it because I know what I'm doing.
That's been the cool thing, is like learning how to, because like a lot of times, like a lot of people don't know, like I know like changing a tire is like a big one, but like in reality, like changing a tire like really isn't that hard. But at the same time, it's just like it's a cool thing to know how to do. From you, like obviously I'm not going to show up with an impact wrench anywhere, but having the idea of of what to do to get a tire change is a big deal. So, and then from
how to get the spare tire, you know, out of the trunk, and because they got them.
Hello. Yep. There's mom. Mom, if you want to go ahead and say hello, we are we're recording right now.
Hello from my hard day at Amazon.
Oh, yep. It's corporate America. Gotta love it.
Those people just keep ordering and ordering.
It'll never stop there. It'll only get more crazy, I think. So, but thanks for popping on. Hopefully, you'll have your episode really soon here too. So,
okay. Well, good luck. Have fun.
Thank you. I will. Yep. Love you too. Yep. There you go. Well, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be right there.
She's still here.
No, yeah, she can still hear her. Now you can, if you want to tell the story, and maybe, I don't know if she wants to, she's probably too exhausted to chime in, but if she wants to, about the story about how you two met. I love that story. If she wants to chime in at all.
Well, I mean, Pete Wetzel got a DUI down in Lee County, which is where Dixon is, and that's where Dixon Tire is. Well, Lori, his girlfriend, and your mother were friends. So Pete had to come down there to do his DUI stuff. Because that's usually you got to go to the county that you got it in.
Yeah.
Well, he worked for Rockford Blacktop. So he would always just get off of work and then come down and just hang out at the tire store until... You know, it's kind of ironic. He had a DUI, but then I would sit at the store and drink beer.
And then drive him somewhere?
He just wanted somewhere to hang out instead of driving all the way back up, because I think he was working down there too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would just hang out at the tire store and drink beer while he was just kind of bumming around until, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock to go to his class.
Oh, yeah, that's what he was waiting around. I was confused on it because I was like, is he waiting for the court to close so he can go there when it's already closed?
No, but he must have got his DUI like in the fall. So he was going down there, you know, October, November, December. Well, these guys were all going to the Wooden Nickel, which, you know, yep. That's in Stillman. I went to school in Stillman, so I knew where it was and I knew what it was. Well, like, you know, yeah, you should come up on New Year's Eve. And I'm like, I ain't going out with all you couples.
Yeah.
So terrible. He was like, well, I'll get you a date.
Oh boy. Usually that never goes well.
So I said, you know, whatever, I'm up for a good time. So the next week, you know, he shows up.
I love this story.
He said, yeah, we found you a date. Her name's Polly Zimmerman.
So wild, dude. So wild.
And he's like, she's got really big hair. But you'll have fun.
She's got really big hair. That's pretty cool. Is that the only thing that he said about her? Because I would have been like, oh, okay. Actually, something just came up.
It was the 80s, Drake. Everybody had
big hair. Yeah, everyone had big hair. No, for sure. I totally get it. I just don't think that I would have showed up if that was the only thing that he would have said. Like, oh, yeah, she's got big hair. She's nice.
But I drove up from Dixon because I was living in Dixon then.
So oh, yeah, that's right. What a haul.
We were all meeting at Lori Lichty's mom and dad's house. And I think she had to work that day or whatever, but all the guys, we were all already there and we were girls. So we were all like standing up in their kitchen living room. Cause they
just like sitting around drinking
like our condo where it was kind of an open concept.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they all walked in and they were giggling and they all went like right downstairs. So I didn't even know which one was her really. I'm like, could you guys see, like, which one of these girls I'm supposedly going out with tonight?
Yeah. And you were how old, mom? If you want to chime in, I don't, you can
25 ish.
I was 22.
Hey mom, this is such a disaster of an episode. Mom, come back over for a second.
Okay.
So yeah, now you guys got to split a little bit of screen time. So
I was probably 24.
So,
I
was
22 and he was
you were 24. So you were 22?
Yeah.
Okay, so then, so you were what again? Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
I was doing stage.
So you were
22 and I was 24.
You were 20. God, dude. That is so, it literally makes me uncomfortable thinking about that because I'm 26 now. Like, I'd be, oh, it's so weird to think about this. But so, Mom, tell your side of the story of when they set you up with Dad, when you were hearing about it.
So Lori, it was Lori,
and lean in a little bit so we can see you because yep, we got video now. There we go. kicking Dad out.
We're going for New Year's Eve to the Wood Nickel, but it's for couples, and I'm like, well, that'll be fun because I don't have a couple. And
been there.
It was like, well, Pete's gonna get you a date, and I'm like, Pete's gonna get me a date, and she's like, yeah, and. So I said, okay. She's like, well, you don't have to like him or anything. You know, it's just so you can go with us. And
oh, this is a really good setup from the jump. I love this.
Like, oh, good. So then I said, okay. So then Pete, I said, he's married, but he's divorced. And I'm like, oh, forget it. I don't want to go. And because I assumed that he had kids. And
yeah.
I go, how many kids? And he goes, oh, he didn't have kids. And I go, oh, okay, then I'll go. And Pete's like, oh, I said, well, you know, some of my sisters are married and their husbands had kids. And, you know, it's just not a situation I want to be in. And he's like,
it's understandable. No,
kids. And I said, oh, okay.
So you agree. And then, so take me to, so do you remember when you got there and went down the stairs and you guys were like all together? Like, when was the first time that you guys met each other?
Walked into
New Year's Eve.
So
I know that, but once you just keep talking, because it's once you, I want to hear the story of when you guys like actually got introduced to each other finally. So what happened when you came in the house?
So we came in the house with Carol and Lori came to pick me up, and we came in the house and they said, we're standing in the kitchen. And so we walked down. So I looked over at him, you know, and I thought he was cute. And we get downstairs and Carol.
There we go. Said, nice, Dad.
Carol Atchison said, oh, see, he's not your type at all. You're not going to like him. I don't think he's that cute. I don't think he's your style. So we walked downstairs and Lori goes, so what'd you think? I go, I think he's really cute. And Carol was like, you have got to be kidding me. And she was like, I just told you that you're not going to like him and that he's not that cute. And
which is so rude, by the way, because do I look like a spitting image of him at that time?
And then Carol's like,
okay, I'll just be ignored.
You're going to end up marrying him and you're going to tell him that I told you that I thought he was ugly.
And now it's on the podcast. Now everyone knows that.
Carol and I, we laugh about that.
Now Carol knows. Carol's getting aired out right now.
Carol was like, oh, we teased her for years about it. She goes, I knew as soon as I said it, I was like, she's going to end up marrying him. And then she's going to tell him what I said. And so, you know, your dad used to always go, you know, I'm the ugly one, Carol.
That is hilarious. Yeah. I want it on record too. Carol's so bogus for that. I feel like, because, you know, and then you must have just ignored me, but I asked you, do I look like a spitting image of him at the time a little bit, but just without the nose piercing and the crazy good mustache?
Yeah. No, he had, you look exactly like him. And I think you're adorable. So, see?
Yeah, but you're obviously biased though. So.
No, I thought he was cute. He was very nice.
Thank you. That's super nice of you.
Had a lot of laughs the first night.
So then get back to you, Dad. So you were downstairs and you got the 411 that Carol's a sellout and doesn't think that people like us are good looking. So first of all, I'm going to have Carol on the podcast and ask her, hey, what's your fucking problem, Carol? Okay, sweetie pie, check yourself. Okay, because these mustaches mean business. Now, did you have an afro at that time when you met Dad? Did Dad have his afro? That's hilarious.
Mustache and an afro.
Mustache and an afro, dude. Oh, the vibes had to have been off the charts with that.
It was red still.
His mustache red. Was red, and his hair was
jet black.
Yeah, it was black, but it was curly because he got a perm.
I forgot that you got it, dude. Please find pictures today and send me those. I need.
In a picture when the night we met, I'm wearing like a.
Send me that one too. I want to see that one again too. So obviously, this story is incredible. I'm loving this. So do you remember? So did you have to come back upstairs that, or did she come back upstairs, Dad? And then
not really until they were all ready to go. I mean,
So they showed up there. You guys were just like pregame, and they had to get ready still. Okay.
Yeah, we all wanted to meet because there was probably what, six couples or something going. I don't remember who all.
How did pregames work back then? Like, what'd you guys have? Did you guys like have like a stereo, like bumping like Bon Jovi or some shit?
No, it was at Carol. It was at Lori Lichty's mom and dad's house. And
were they there? So no music was playing. It was just people standing around talking.
Yeah, it was just because it was probably
might had Christmas music going. Yeah. As far as we know,
vibe kind of seems off to me, to be honest with you.
We weren't staying there. We were going to the Wooden Nickel.
Rules.
That was just our meeting spot. Then we stayed at Carol and Tom's over in Stillman anyway, because Lori's dad lived in Monroe Center.
So we stayed in Stillman then.
So then obviously, so what happened when you guys eventually what was the first thing you guys talked about? Do you remember?
No.
So did you guys meet and get introduced at the house before you guys left, right? And then you guys probably ended up like riding with whoever else over to the, to the Wooden Nickel.
They walked up to me and said, "Here's your date. See you later."
and then Carol's going, "Good luck." Good luck, because he's so ugly.
Good luck with your ugly guy.
Yeah, good luck with your ugly new boyfriend.
Might want to have a few stiff drinks so he looks better.
Honestly, yeah, it's a good strategy though. I've used it before.
No, we had a lot of fun that night. You know, dancing, talking.
No.
But he knew all of. He went to school because they were.
Could you? Could you? Did you dance as badly back then as you do now, or were your knees a little bit healthier?
Oh, that was before I hurt my knee.
No, not talking about you. I know you can groove. I'm talking about your counterpart.
I don't know if you'd say grooving.
Yeah, because I was gonna say I've seen.
Nobody else did.
And were you when you met Dad? Were you still heartbroken over Bruce Anderson?
I don't know that I was heartbroken.
Because it was a while kind of after the Bruce Anderson breakup, right? Because that was a major event in your life, was it not?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel you there, sister. I feel you there. Okay.
Yeah, that was a heartbreaker. It was probably
fucking scumbag. fucking scumbag breaking my mom's heart, Bruce. How dare you? Just joking, Bruce. You're not a scumbag. That's really just I'm trying to give views up right now. So scumbag, dude. And also Carol, scumbag, for calling my dad ugly, dude. Everyone's getting the smoke this episode. Everyone's getting the smoke this episode.
She did never get to live that down. She's like, I can't believe I just said that. You're gonna end up marrying a Martin.
You text her and you tell her that I want to have a word with her. I need to have a conversation with Carol. Because if he thought that Don was ugly back then, that means she thinks I'm ugly right now, and that doesn't sit well with me.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't sweat it.
And so her and I are going to have a conversation. You better bet your ass we're going to have a conversation.
I think Carol just kind of said it.
She really didn't think you guys were going to work out.
No. She just wanted me to go so we could all go to be together.
And so like how how amazing was it, and how much did your guys' life change for the better on October 18th, 1995, on a Wednesday around a little after 10 o'clock p.m. to be exact?
Well, after 12 hours of labor, it was amazing, and we didn't know what you were.
Oh, so that's good. I don't know how to take that news, but that's good. Don't know what I was.
Well, I didn't know. I wouldn't
find out. You guys were surprised. You guys waited for the surprise. Oh, okay. I thought like.
No, so I kept saying.
I went down. My thought process went a different way there. That's my fault. I was like, oh, okay. That's cool. Makes me feel real confident about myself. If you didn't know what I was when I came out, so that's good. Anyway, so you.
Dad had five sisters and no brothers. And I had five sisters, but he's the only boy. I'm like, okay, we're only going to do this, what I thought, two times. And so, but we already had Becca, and I'm like, God's like,
shout out to Josie for being a mistake.
But she was a cute mistake. No, she wasn't really a mistake. She was just,
Now I was late, correct? I was expected to be born early October, right? But I just could not leave the oven.
You were due October 8th.
October 8th, so 10 days. 10 days overdue. 10 days overcooked, some may say. 10 days overcooked, and I was a fucking porker when I was born. I was huge.
Yep.
You were a.
And another thing that we need to, now I've heard this story, and you guys can confirm this if you want to or not, but I heard when I got snipped, they had to use the bigger tools, if you know what I mean.
Okay, all, so I, you know, I didn't know because I didn't have any.
So I just need you to confirm that for the audience, because that's a pretty cool fact.
Because they came and took you, and they brought you back, and the doctor, he came in, said, well, you know, we circumcised them, and then they tell you.
Okay, there we go. Air that out. Just out the, there we go.
And then he said, well, you know, he's an average size baby, but we had to circumcise him. We had to use all the large tools, and your dad and I were.
There it is.
And we got the giggles, and the doctor started like, you know, he's like, and, you know, we were like, we all just had the giggles, you know. So
so what did Dad say when he heard that news?
Prove it.
No, that's not what you said, you liar. So what, you know what he said, Mom, since he won't say what he really said, why don't you tell me?
Or supposedly.
Well, it's a little embarrassing, you know, he's like, well.
That's my boy.
I don't know where he got it from. That's what he said.
Like father, like.
Fire up, dude. So.
For the doctor to leave so I could look at it. So I was like, okay, well, let the doctor leave so we can take his diaper off.
Okay. Okay, I think your screen time's about maxed out. Okay, yeah, well, him and I are gonna wrap up here pretty soon. So I appreciate you jumping in there, though. So we'll get you on your own episode. You'll probably be a fan favorite too, you psycho.
Okay.
What a lunatic that one, huh?
Yeah, other than that, everything's great.
That's really good stuff, dude. Blink twice for help. Oh, man. So, yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool that I just aired myself out that I needed to use the big boy tools. But you know what it is. So.
Yeah, got to have something to brag about, I guess.
Yeah, big mustache.
Big wiener.
I was hoping we were going to say something else, but.
Or at least when you came out, it was big. It doesn't mean it grew with the rest of you.
No, it didn't. It stayed the same. Yeah.
Happens to a lot of us.
Stayed the same, so. But you know what? At least, because of that, though, look at how much my personality has blossomed.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if so facto, it kind of worked out.
Might want to take the Carhartt hat off till you're working, then.
Well, I start again tomorrow night, so it's kind of just getting in the mood again to get back into blue collar. Get back into the blue collar role. You know what I mean?
Not so bad.
You know what I mean. Then hopefully I get my clubs and then I become, you know, a scratch golfer.
Yeah, okay.
When was the we can go ahead and wrap this up pretty soon. We've been going for probably like almost an hour now, so I kind of love this episode where it's at, but yeah, dude, I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap it there. That was pretty good. So I appreciate you hopping on. I love you to death. You and mom both.
Love you too.
I think you're going to be a fan favorite episode for sure. So I will, I'll get this sent to you once I get it uploaded, once we get off of here, but no, I appreciate you hopping on. I love you guys to death. And I'll stop this and then you and I can keep talking for a little bit longer once I cut it. But if you just want to say a few closing things before I cut it off the recording.
Well, thanks for having me on, I guess. And hopefully, you know, everybody wasn't bored stiff.
I don't think so. I think it was a good one. What do you think about the podcast so far? I don't know if you've listened to any of the other episodes, but.
No, I haven't had a chance. I don't, I say I can't do anything at work, but work. It's,
yeah.
When you're everybody else is, you know, everybody else is looking for you, it just makes it hard. And then time the evenings go and the weekends, and we were busy all day yesterday. I haven't had time yet, but I'll check it out eventually.
No, yeah, no worries. I mean, it'll be up there. It's not going anywhere. So, but no, I love you to death, you guys, especially you. So I appreciate you hopping on. I can't wait for people to see this episode because it's kind of a shit show.
Yeah, more than.
More than. Appreciate it, Dad.
It's like organized diarrhea.
I mean, I couldn't have said it any better myself. Organized diarrhea.
That's what it was.